As Adam and Adrian prepare to minister, let's just pray for them as they release the word of heaven and the word of the Lord today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for these men. We thank you for the fire of God that they have gone through and carry and release. And this morning as we receive them, may we receive you, Jesus. And there's a real spirit of surrender here this morning. And Yahweh's an invitation to go into surrender. So we yield to you today, Yahweh. All our ambitions and hopes and plans that aren't aligned with your kingdom, may they fall away and disintegrate in our lives in the name of Jesus. And may the only words that remain be the true word of the Lord for our lives. And so, Father, as these men come, we thank you for the gift they are to the body. We pray, Father, again this morning, more doors open, more places where they have not been received yet, more places where they have not been opened up to yet. Lord, release them like arrows, two arrows shot into the earth, Father. And we just thank you for their lives. We bless their families this morning. We thank you, Father, for your precious blood that covers them and covers their families. And as they release to us this morning, may they receive themselves, Father. And so we bless them as they come now in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, on this first day of the Jewish New Year, may we receive, Lord, what you have for us. Nothing new to you, but definitely new to us. And Lord, I dare say new to them as they minister in the name of Yeshua. Please take your seats as these men come. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Adam, for praying for us. And we really need all the prayers we can get, so we appreciate you praying for us as well. We're on the road probably 10 months a year. And so, you know, we've seen amazing things. We see God. It's a privilege to do what we do for the Lord. At the same time, you know, when you're on the road, it can be a challenge. You know you're on the road a lot when you wake up in your own bed and you go for room service, you know. That's a bad sign. But we praise God for our families and supportive families. And the Lord's really has brought Adrian and I into amazing countries and places that we've seen the miraculous. I mean, it's very humbling. And what you see demonstrated last night, and last night was good, but today I'm expecting more.
Amen.
But what you see demonstrated in the next several hours, we want you to know that you guys can do this. It's not, we're not gurus, we're not elite prophets. Well, we are prophets, but we're not just, you know, these men that are just only have this elite gift. We all can operate like this. And the body of Christ can do that. And that's the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. And I really believe that there's a new breed rising in the spirit and the power of Elijah in these days.
Amen.
So we're going to do some teaching in a moment, but we'll probably do some more demonstration at the beginning to kick it off. What do you reckon, Adrian?
I think that's what we should do. How many of you are new today? You weren't here last night. Can we just have a show of hands? Okay, that gives us indication how much of the parameters and the guidelines we need to share before we start. If we interpret a dream or a vision or an encounter that you had, it needs to be something that you can share with us in around about 20 seconds max, if we're going to do it in a public forum like that, so that we can continue to flow and minister to as many people as possible. If it goes longer than that, we will ask you in love to sit down. We pray for you, but we'll ask you to sit down. So you need to keep it short. Don't try to shorten a dream, experience, a vision to sort of fit it into 20 seconds. But we want to minister to as many as we can. The longer the dream, the longer the experience, it takes more time to actually to decipher what God is actually saying. And so we can't do that in this forum. Please don't write to us your dreams or visions as well, because you cannot interact enough. And the key to dream interpretation or understanding the voice of God is context. And to get context, you need to ask questions. You need to interact with people, as we demonstrated last night.
So we apologize in advance. We apologise in advance if we can't do your dream publicly, especially if it has some personal stuff as well. We're not here to expose any sin or anything like that. There's some things that get revealed, and we only say a certain amount of things. We're like icebergs, so there's a lot of stuff that goes on, but we're only permitted to say a certain amount of things, because you know, when you're operating in the prophetic giftings, it's one thing to have a gift, and it's like a party trick, really, if it's just a gift. But we need the wisdom and the intimacy of the Father, and we want the intimacy with the Father so we can see through His lens and have the compassion and the mercy. And when I tap into that, and Adrian can too, we tap into that realm. It just, you see the love of God over people. You see how much God loves you. And you're very sensitive when you move in that realm. Without that, it's just a gift. And you can reveal too much. And you can expose stuff, and then you can bring somebody in a place of feeling condemned. The Holy Spirit is to edify, to build up. But there's different types of prophetic callings, but I won't cover that today. We've got a lot of teaching on stuff. We do have a prophetic school we'll talk about later. But Adrian, do you want to share just a bit about the tongues and interpretation?
So, it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that a tongue being a mystery coming through a human vessel, and its interpretation likewise coming through human vessels, needs to be judged or weighed. In the same way, a dream and a vision is a heavenly mystery. It's a parable, it's an enigma, it's a puzzle. And coming through a human vessel with bias, agenda, and its interpretation likewise through imperfect vessels, it needs to be judged or weighed. But together, both of them are prophetic. And so the tongue's interpretation is prophecy. Dream, its interpretation is prophecy. And as such, it carries an authority. And that's what gives you the confidence to speak into a person's life and to see things change and see the kingdom manifest when you understand the authority you carry, as you understand what God is saying through that revelation that's released to you.
See, God speaks in parables and symbols. And, we need to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I said last night, He speaks to us that way. So He wants us to search Him out. It says in Proverbs 25, it's the glory of God that conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. So God wants you to seek Him. He wants the intimacy with you. He doesn't, give the quick fix word. See, people think someone said to me, they'd always say, "You have a word for me now. Adam, give me a word now." I can't do that. Some people might be able to do it, but I can't do the drive-through McDonald's word. Someone rang me from London once, a Pakistani. He said, Brother Adam, you have a word for me. I said, yeah, read your Bible. So, but we do, we flow in the Spirit. If I get the visions, as last night, halfway through the meeting, the angel stood with me, and the visions get more detailed. So if that happens, I can't do anything. Without the Holy Spirit, Adrian and I are just a couple of average guys, really, aren't we?
I thought you were going to say bookends.
No, we're the number 10, I think. No, but we're going to flow in this, and we'll teach as we go throughout the day. We're going to be doing as many as we can. But we want you to just be open-minded. We don't know everything. People think because I'm prophetic and Adrian's prophetic, even just giving advice, they take that as the word of the Lord. The prophet Elisha in 2 Kings, he prophesied over a woman who was barren, and she had a baby. He grew to 10 years old, and he died with an aneurysm. And she was in great distress, and she came to prophet Elisha, and Gehazi tried to stop her, and he said, "Don't stop this woman. She's in great distress. The Lord has hidden it from me." So we don't know everything, okay? Just for some, I know you all know, most of you should know that, but some things, because we're prophets, we know everything about you. We don't. We're demonstrating what you can do. God, the prophetic New Covenant ministry is actually a corporate body, company. Amen? And that's our mandate.
That's good. I think that's good.
To equip. You like that one, Adrian?
Mm.
Yeah.
We see through a glass darkly, don't we? We just see. Sometimes we're ministering to people and they go, "Well, you didn't call this out or you didn't call that out." All we can do is see what God shows us. And so we don't see everything.
Yeah, someone said, you were right about my back and then this inner ear and that, and my family. But, you know, I've got this knee problem, you know, just you didn't say anything. So, but anyway, but it's all good. We're going to just flow into it. What else we need to cover? Did you cover about the half dreams? Don't give half dreams. We don't really, please don't give us a half of your dream to make it short, okay? We don't want to mislead you, because there's some vital elements in a dream that you might miss out of saying can be very important, okay? And don't bring up somebody else's dream, please. It needs to be your dream, the whole dream and nothing but the dream. But we, you know, it might be a vision as well. You might have a vision. We do have also other teachings of things, incidents can happen in the natural that's unusual. We have a book called God's Prophetic Symbols in Everyday Life. We recently went on Sid's show again, Sid Roth, for that one. But it might be a bizarre incident that might happen in the natural that's just, you know, that's unseasonal. Or it's a bit like when Jeremiah, when he saw the almond tree bud, and the Lord said, what do you see? He was budding out of season. And God can speak to you that way as well. So, but we will stick to, at the moment, the format of dreams and visions. We might another time teach more on the natural phenomena that happen.
So I want to overlap this morning as well with dreams, visions and the kingdom, because that's our mindset here, all right? So as best we can, we'll teach and we'll speak into that. Understand that there are three sources of our dreams. A lot of people write off dreams because of the darkness in a dream. You know, that couldn't have been God. You need to understand that God gives dreams. And if we've read the scriptures, we see, you know, all the way from Joseph, Jacob, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, all the way through to, in Matthew, you see Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, all had dreams to guide and lead them. All right, so we can accept that God gives dreams. Amen? But we also need to realize that the enemy has the capacity in that area as well. So, for example, Jesus is tested and taken into the wilderness, where he is shown all the kingdoms of the earth, you know, in a moment. Well, we know that you couldn't go to Mount Everest and see all the kingdoms of the world. You couldn't see all the world from one place. And we also know that all the kingdoms of the world are in different epochs of time. So, therefore, the devil has the capacity, in that situation at least, to display vision. So we know that the enemy has a capacity in that area to influence our dreams. When we're interpreting dreams, sometimes people go, well, I can't share that dream. I want to forget that dream. I want to disassociate from that dream straight away. You need to realize that if the enemy's in there, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, don't give the enemy any ground. If you see a darkness in a dream, you're going, well, where did the enemy get in? What door was open for that person to get in? And that's what you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you to find the way to shut that door. The blood of Christ is all powerful. Amen. And finally, our own hearts. When God gives us a dream, realize that God is responding primarily to a heart cry, a heart need in the individual. Most dreams are about the individual. And the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 14, if a man comes to the prophet and he has an idol in his heart, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the idol. So realize that what is an idol? So here's my idol, and I'm going, God, is that what you want for me? Is that what you want for me? And I get consumed with that, and I'm not looking to God. I'm just looking for what I want. God says, I'll answer you according to that. So we have to be careful. So when we're interpreting dreams, we're discerning, is that God? Is that something going on in the second heaven or through the enemy's realm? Or is that the heart of the person? And so realize this, that when Jesus was taken into the wilderness, who was in charge? Who was in control? Who led Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. So therefore, God was in control. Realize that God is always in control. God is sovereign. And so if you do get a darkness in a dream, or if you do get a dream where your own heart's involved, who's sovereign? God. That means that God can speak to you through every type of dream. He may not be the author of that dream, but he is the interpreter of that dream. Is that okay?
Okay, we're going to just acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and we like to do that because, you know, when we acknowledge the Holy Spirit, he gets the glory, and I'm just seeing just an open vortex over this place today. So I'm really excited that we're going to go to another level today, and there's I can sense the angelic realm around me. I can see in the spirit at the moment, and that God's going to move. And we give you the glory, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We give you the glory.
Welcome.
Karia maroko sike.
You're welcome, Holy Spirit.
Yes, we invite you, Holy Spirit. You're here now, but we thank you for the manifestation of your kingdom.
Come,
Holy Lord, Spirit. We thank you for the manifestation of your glory.
You're welcome, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.
Achmania ramoko shalom. Achmania Salava Jesus Slava There's a holy cascade of the river of God. There's a river that streams from the city of God. Psalms 46 is activated right now. There's a river that streams from the city of God. God is activating people to be portals with legs. The gate is within the gate. Jesus is inside of you. When you go into a room, a business meeting, you go into a city, the atmosphere changes. Jesus, we give you the glory, Yeshua. We give you the glory. We thank you for angels ascending and descending here right now. Oh, hallelujah. So, who wants to go first? What about this gentleman here? Do you want to come on the front? Cool, thank you, Catches. You did a great job last night. How you doing?
I'm good, Adam. How are you? Excellent.
We met before? Oh, that's good. Okay, go for it.
This is actually a vision that I had rather than a dream. And I have some idea of what it might mean, but it'd be good, obviously, to get your interpretation and authority on it. So I was worshipping in a church in Sydney called Jubilee, which is quite a prophetic church, and I quite often would get visions. But I had a vision of a huge flag, and intuitively it felt like I had some kind of a mandate through that flag. But the vision itself was really interesting because the flag was actually a whole bunch, like hundreds of flags of different countries all stitched together to form one great big huge flag. So I'd be, yeah, that was the vision.
Okay, so it's quite, it's you know, worship is a very, very powerful, I was going to say vehicle, but that sort of demeans what worship is. But it's a fantastic atmosphere and place to receive revelation. Amen? And so often when we are worshiping, I might write something down on my phone because I get revelation flowing as I'm giving my heart to God. So that's a very important fact as well here. All right, so you said you were in Jubilee. Do you attend Jubilee? Or you just were attending a conference or something?
No, I attend at Hillsong, but I quite often would go to Jubilee.
Well, you know, so, I mean, there's lots of things there. So Jubilee means 50, doesn't it, right? It means release of the captives and all that sort of thing. You know, all the debts cancelled and stuff like that. But you said you had a vision and you saw a flag, but you didn't really indicate whether you were holding that flag. Were you holding that flag?
No, I wasn't holding it. All I saw was a picture of the flag.
Okay, so you saw an image of the flag, and the flag was made up of all the nations' other flags incorporated into that and woven together, as it were, sewn together. All right. In a dream or a vision, normally in a situation like that, you get the sense that it was a good a feeling of that was great, you know, of awe and so on, and particularly in worship. But it's always useful to find out how the person felt, because how a person feels in a dream or a vision will indicate how you would want to attack or approach that dream interpretation. So how did you feel when you saw that?
Well, to be honest, I put an interpretation to it.
In a positive slant, though?
It was positive, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so, you wouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that obviously there's something there about all the nations of the world perhaps on display or represented in that flag. Is that right? And so I'm wondering, you know, what is that? So in worship, there we are. We're joined with all the other nations perhaps in that situation, and we're united in that place. And we are one in that place, aren't we? That's true. All right. So I'm wondering, how long ago was that, to get context?
Probably 8 to 10 years.
All right. We weren't the speakers there, were we? Because we were there. We were there that many years ago.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. And so you've been carrying that. It's interesting, isn't it, that we carry visions and dreams for years, or can. We've ministered to people who are in their 70s and they had childhood dreams that they've been carrying, and God just unlocks them. Incredible. And they still have relevance. All right. And so I see, obviously, there's some sort of uniting of us in worship. I wonder, you know, if you've got to ask the questions that sometimes are not suggested in that. Sometimes God speaks loudest when he doesn't say anything at all. And I'll explain that later on, if I have chance. But what questions sort of go off inside of your heart? I wonder what our brother's ministry is. All right, and is he called to the nations? Is he an evangelist? You know, those sort of things are going off inside of me, and I'm going, okay, Holy Spirit, help me, show me what that could be. So how do you see your ministry? Are you a musician?
No.
All right. Are you an evangelist?
No.
Do you feel like you have a calling to the nations, though, in some measure? So is it Psalm 2?
Yeah, I do feel that in some measure. Yeah.
Yes. And what I would want to explore is, in what expression does our brother have? What gifting does he have? You know, you gravitate to your gifting. Everywhere I go, I gravitate to prophetic teaching. I just move that way. Adam always moves to the seer anointing. So whatever you move to is likely to be your calling, all right? Whatever you gravitate to is a natural course. Adam?
Okay, so this is pretty simple and basic. So 10 years ago, you had that vision.
Thereabouts.
Right? And but you've been since then going toing and throwing to Jubilee?
Yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Do you, around about that time was the first time perhaps you went to Jubilee, or one of the first times?
It was in the period that I went to Jubilee, yeah. I don't get a sense it was the first time I went.
Okay, because what I really believe the Lord is showing me in this, there's a lot of creativity that you have, and I see that obviously that you're prophetic, but there's a creative, there's quite of an ingenious creative mind that God's given you when it comes to releasing, expressing the prophetic, right? But what God showed me in this, that there seems to be God's, there's decision making that God wants you to make, but to step out and be with a group of people that's going to support what you do and what you have, so that you can go to the nations, because there seems to be a delay on this, right? And also, I want to pray for your family as well. I want to pray that you're going to come into a place where that's going to be sorted out, so that you can be supported in what God's called you to do. But most importantly, the family's going to be okay. The family's going to be, the whole situation with your life and with your family and your wife, and God's going to bring divine order to that. But there's actually a religious spirit, there's a religious wall that's actually stopped you from stepping into your full calling. And I'm not saying that you're religious, but there's a religious heritage that's actually stopped you. And God wants to remove your mind. There's a mind path he wants to readjust, because sometimes we can be tied to some religiosity, and there's nothing serious with that. But God wants you to be released into your destiny, so you can walk the way Jesus walked, 1 John 2:6, and start to manifest, bring the kingdom. I was saying last night, our role as a mature believer to usher the kingdom and manifest it on the earth as it is in heaven, and govern the heavenlies, to clear a path for that. We have authority to govern the heavenlies. We are governors. We actually control the heavenlies, because we've been given that gift as a co-worker, co-heir with Christ. And there's no difference when you lay hands on Jesus. Excuse me. When you lay hands on people, right, it's no different than Jesus is laying hands on people. And it's business as usual when he, the resurrection, handed the baton onto us. Okay? So I just want to pray for you, because there's some decision making that you need to make and stand firm when it comes to your destiny. But also, God wants to break the religiosity off the heritage of your family. And also, I want to pray that your wife is coming in. Is she here today? Pray that she's coming into peace. Right? We decree that, because you're a man of God, and the God's love is all over you. But I just see that you're actually very creative. You have a very creative mind, and God's given you some inspiration and creative ideas to bring the prophetic when it comes to visions and images. God's actually shown me that you have a unique ministry, and God wants to send you to the nations, right? And I just see also there's your negotiator. He's giving you the ability to peacemaker, kind of a it's a word that slipped my mind, but it's kind of like a negotiator. Where,
mediate?
No. Advocate. That's, yeah. Thanks for that. Just put your hands out, and we're going to pray for this man. I'm seeing a vision. Do you have any young children? Because I want to pray for your wife. Because I'm seeing a vision that there's going to be a miracle with your wife. All right? And I'm seeing a vision that there's actually children stored up in heaven. And the reason I'm saying this is because the angel stepped in here, and I just see these beautiful little children, blonde-haired children. Right? I see that. But when I say that, there's actually, God has a wealth of blessing for you, for your family. And I want to pray for your situation with your wife, and also with you. Right? We pray for divine order in that area. I know it's going to be a miracle, but we decree life over your wife right now. We shut down even the stress of the finance over that as well. We break that down right now. That lying spirit has tried to block the offspring right now. And we decree divine order over his wife right now, over her body. And we thank you, Lord, that the anxiety is lifting off of her. We thank you that her mind is free, that there's no more doubt. And we break the religiosities of the cords of religion are broken off her mind. Lord, we just decree that. And we thank you this man is actually coming into such a miraculous anointing, Lord, with a blessing over the family, so there's actually divine order where the offspring, Lord, there's a miracle, and messengers come through barren families. Whew. We decree, Lord, the power of Jesus is released right now. We decree this right now. We thank you, this man of God, also that he's having strength coming upon his mind and his body. Lord, we thank you for supernatural strength. The fatigue is coming off right now. Oh, glory. Glory. You got anything that God's shown you, Adrian, when it comes to the river? I just see also, can you just impart revelation over him? The mysteries of heaven are unlocked over this man.
Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that it's the Father's good will to give us the kingdom. Lord, and Father, we just release and open this man's eyes right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the eyes of his understanding being enlightened right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we open his the eyes of his heart right now. In Jesus' name. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. There it is. There
grief
it
is lifting off him. Also, your family, Lord, with the parents and the Lord, we just release, Lord, that there's fire over this family right now. And Lord, I thank you for bringing divine order through his family as well. Lord, we just thank you for revival. Lord, revival. Shakara baroko sika. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Bless you, sir. Bless you. Who's next? The lady over here's got her hand up.
Who's he?
Hi, how you doing? Don't tell me your name. So, because God calls out names. But I'm just seeing some activity over here. Just excuse me a minute, Adrian. There's the lady in the purple. Can you stand up? Yes, just stand up there. Lord, we just release the fire of God right through the glands right now. We release the power of God through her body right now. We decree also, Lord, in Jesus' name, right through the neck down to the spine, you're releasing strength in her body. The power of God is coming upon you right now. As I prophesy, I decree, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, that even her, Lord, we just decree the digestive system is coming in the divine order over her body. And Lord, we thank you that she has a prophetic intercession anointing over her life. And God is activating this into a stronger weight of glory. And when you pray, I just see that the family's getting saved. There's revival breaking out over your family. But I prophesy, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, right now that the fire of God is coming upon her heart and the blood flow right now. Shakara baruko sika. Just equip her body, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we decree, Lord, divine order. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, you're giving her strength. The energy levels is also lifting up, Lord. We thank you for the fire of God over her right now. And we prophesy that the thyroid is coming in the divine order in Jesus' name. We just release this right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given her the ability as she intercedes. Lord, she's shifting something in the spirit. I see the principalities are being dismantled. Lord, over regions, we decree this right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, give her the confidence to step out and to speak. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The glory is coming upon you stronger. It's a stronger weight of glory. It's not a weight of the enemy. It's the kavod glory. Release it over her mind. In Jesus' name. Over her back. And I want to pray for also your head is coming into divine order. Lord, we decree this. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that her head is coming in the divine order. When I say her head, I'm just going to remove something off your head in the spirit. I see that there's The enemy is trying to bring some blockages there, and I'm just going to break that off, and your brain is coming into divine order right now. We decree that the blood levels are in divine order in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Do you receive that? Receive it right now, and we decree it and we seal it with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's two angels next to you, so that's why I had to call you out today. All right, ma'am, sorry about that. Thanks for your patience.
My dream was actually last night. I got a bit hammered last night. I didn't sleep well. The dream was I was in the room because we stayed at the Grandview at Wentworth Falls. I was in the room. I had no pants on, but I had underpants and a shirt. And I was told to hurry up, and I pulled pants on, and they were floral, ugly pants. And I stepped out of the door, and I stepped into a Jewish wedding. And I was behind the wedding, and I was going like this, like trend, like the Greek dance, where you're kind of following along. So I was joining in, and I saw flowers woven. So there was big white flowers coming from the right, big blue flowers like on a vine, wrapping around each other. And I was just joining into the edge of the wedding.
It's got to be good, doesn't it?
It has to be good, doesn't it, Aiden?
It does.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking, B1?
I am B2.
Wow. It's impartation
time.
I actually saw with you guys too, because I feel like I was getting in the spirit during the night, that what you were doing, I was watching people go to the toilet. I was looking out my window from my room. I was watching people go to the toilet, and I was going, oh, that's good, because there were some people holding up the line a bit, but there was a lot of people going to the toilet.
This is in a dream.
It was in my dream, and I was looking out my window, and I was watching, and there wasn't actually a toilet outside at the Grand View, so I know that it was a dream.
So
cubicle outside.
In the dream, so it wasn't in real life, it was in a dream.
Outside. In the dream.
So how big was the window? How big was the
window? Just a little window, like literally, like I was in.
That's a good... It's good. You snuck a second one in, but that's good. Okay, Adrian, kick it off.
There's a lot of things there. All right, so in that second dream, going to the bathroom, normally you're detoxing or you're dealing with issues. And number one, let's put it like that, and number one is you're dealing with an offense, all right? And number two is you're detoxing, generally speaking, or you're dealing with sin, or you're offloading some stuff that you don't want to be carrying around with you. Is that all right? See, God does use everyday language to us, and we every one of us has to go there.
We all have issues, so don't worry about that. When you have dreams like that.
And so looking through the window also is using your prophetic gift. That's the windows of heaven. That's why I asked how big it was. The size of the window, if you're in a big glass office, it probably is likely you have a prophetic office. And so the bigger the windows, the more you're seeing in the spirit realm. That's why I was asking that question.
But right? You're growing in this. This is exciting.
So, and now the first part, just remind me the first, give me the catalyst of what the thoughts were.
I was literally in the room. I felt like all night I was being... like in dreams, like one, it just literally started like I had to get out of bed quick. You got to get out of your room,
and then I had you had no pants on, put trousers on, and they're floral. You didn't really want to put them
floral,
on.
Floral pants, and I was like, but I was like, I had to put pants on because I was told to hurry up and get out of the room. And I literally opened the door and I stepped into the wedding, and there was, and I just know that it was a Jewish wedding. There were young men. They had their yarmulke and the things here. And there was women, and there was men, and we were all, it's like the Greek dance. They're all doing this kind of thing. And
how did you feel in that situation?
I was kind of excited, like, ooh, I was kind of like slip up the back, and I'll just join along kind of thing. But I didn't like necessarily feel like I was a part of it, but I felt like I got to join in.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so, you know, white flowers, blue flowers, white can be the glory of God. All right, and the blue can be heaven, so it can be the intermingling of the glory and heaven, like a DNA strand
what
or something
kind of blue?
Like that.
Light blue
place.
Or dark blue?
Light blue. Okay. All right. Big. Just the flowers. Yeah. You know, Solomon said, you know, Jesus said of Solomon that look at the lilies of the field. Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. And so flowers often are a depiction of the glory in some measure. It can also be fruitfulness. It can be someone shining. You can be a flower, all right? Well, individuals can be flowers in that situation as well. Normally, the high priest wore blue on his garment because he was an earthly man, but he was about a heavenly business, all right? And so often blue can be significant. Now, Adam's asking whether it was dark blue or light blue. Sometimes like a navy or a dark blue like this shirt perhaps could be the Spirit of God, symbolic of the Spirit of God. And often just blue like those pastel colors there could be heaven. And if you were looking at a curtain like that, the Bible actually says he spreads out heaven like a curtain, all right? And so what you're seeing here is I see there's heaven and individuals are actually being being entwined in the glory, as it were. All right, and a wedding, of course, is a union, isn't it? And Jesus is the ultimate. It's the wedding banquet. It's the union with Him. That's really what Pentecost was all about, wasn't it? The union of God and men. All right, that was the marriage. All right, right there. His death was the birth. That's why the water came out of His side, and blood and water came out, which is a woman birthing. All right, so He was birthing us at the cross, but He married us at Pentecost. All right, and so you'll see here that I think that you're seeing the union of God and man. And you're part of that. But I think, so when you're interpreting, you've got to read what's not said, as I said before. You're currently an observer. God wants you to enter in.
Yeah.
All right? And yeah. So God wants to encourage you. You know, if you've ever played sports, sometimes you can get stuck on the sport field just watching what's going on. But God wants you to get in there, you know, and win the ball. All right? And so I think God was encouraging to step in, Adam.
That's fantastic. It's a follow-on from Adrian. The pants, you putting pants on means that God's giving you a transition with your walk now. Because there were things that had happened in the past where there had been also some accusations and stuff. And God's now giving you a whole new... See, the legs are a metaphor for the walk with God. And you're putting your new pants on means there's a whole new transition you're going through. Flowers, floral pants means God's giving you a whole new life, a whole new chapter. It's about to open up for you to start walking into. And God wants to... your life's been on hold, right? There's been something that's happened to you. And the angel stepped in, and I see that also there's been some false accusations and there's been a manipulation control that's actually shut down your life. And it's caused devastation to you. And it's also caused some real heaviness over your heart and anxiety. And I just saw a vision of just you weeping. With tears coming down, even the mascara, not that you got mascara on now, but I saw a vision of I saw mascara running down. You're just weeping because of the destruction the enemy did with your family and has caused grief. And but God's saying to you that everything's going to be okay. Even with what you've been praying for, even your family, those who are innocent are going to actually be okay, because the enemy's trying to lie to them through another person. Does that make sense? Because I'm seeing it in the spirit. The angels here now showing me there's a lying spirit, a Jezebel spirit speaking to your kids, all right? And it's causing grief, right? And also other family members. And I want to pray that your heart is actually going to be free, because there's a heaviness over you. And there's times where that you, sometimes it's so that you've been lied about so much, sometimes you can't breathe as the enemy's try to, it's just like it comes upon you and you just have to think to breathe sometimes. And that's a lying spirit. We're going to take that off your heart, okay? And also, God's actually loves your spirit. You see everything glass half full, all right? But still, sometimes you had these moments been so dark. And I want to pray for I want to pray that, because something's happened with your eating as well. There's been some eating disorder through what's been happening, and I'm seeing a vision where the enemy's tormented. There's been some trauma that's affected your eating patterns, and it's caused also the metabolism to have problems, right? If you know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying this as a prophet of God. The angel's showing me this, and there's some grief is lifting off as well. And also in the past, there's some trauma over with the family with death as well, and that's lifting off as well. And God's setting you free today, right? Because what's happening is you're going to go into... God's calling you into a true union of who your true lover is. Right? And that's Jesus. Sorry? Well, he's that's what the dream is telling you, that you're coming into a full union. Don't just be a spectator. He's the lover of your soul. And once you come into that place of intimacy, all the cares and that trauma and even the worries about your family, oh, I'm seeing other stuff. There's also, there's a seductive spirit. I'm going to break off the family as well. Over the offspring, we break it off right now. I'm seeing that in the spirit. I only can say a certain amount, but you've been grieved by that, and the enemy is trying to seduce one of your children. I'm going to break that off right now. It's a spirit of lust is breaking off right now. But they're innocent, right? And we break that off right now. And we send right now, the angels are sent ahead of those who inherit salvation. And we thank you right now. We decree an army, the most invincible army of all existence has been released right now over her family. And we thank you that you are calling them back in, right? The prodigal daughters and sons right now. We would call them back in. And we decree revival over the family. And we shut down that there's a demonic spirit because they're in two camps. And we break that off right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you receive that? We've never met before. You believe that's the Holy Spirit? We're going to pray for you also, your metabolism right now. I want you to reach your hands out to our sister. The glory of God's coming upon her right now. Here it comes. She's getting set free. Here it comes. There it is. I'm not pushing anything. There's anointing over you. You've got good catches. But what's happening? The God glory is so strong. It's coming upon you. And you're getting set free right now. Just come a bit closer. And just put your hands out and receive. Just take your hands off her if you can for a minute. Nothing personal. But just take your hands off her for this stage. Because there's a certain... Because what she's been through. The power of God. You can touch her when she falls. But just nothing personal with you, sir. But let's just... pray for her again because the Holy Spirit is coming upon her. Here it comes. Here it comes. We decree right now the anxiety is lifting off her heart. We decree right now that anxiety is lifted off and we cut off that spirit right now off the children right now. And that lying spirit, there's false accusations through the man right now. We break it off and we bless, Lord, we bless the person, but we bind the spirit. And we decree, Lord, that her anxiety is coming in right now, is being removed, and her heart and emotions are coming in the divine order. And we decree, Lord Jesus, that her heart has been free right now. Here it comes. It's coming upon you like a weight of glory. It's okay. Just receive it. Close your eyes. You've got good catches. But the glory is coming upon you as angels are ascending and ascending over your family. And we decree that she's free today. And she's got a whole new chapter. And God's bringing a whole new lease of life through the intimacy of the lover of her soul right now. And God's going to bring everything to you. And if you ask for more, He'll give it to you right now. And Lord, we decree right now that, Lord, the metabolism is coming in the divine order. Right now, we decree that her eating pattern is coming into divine order because I'm just seeing that the digestive system is getting free right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. How's the weather up there? Does that make sense? You believe that's the Holy Spirit? We've never met before, right? Well, you go home and receive the miracle through your body, through your family. And we decree revival over your life. In Jesus' name. Bless you, ma'am.
Bless you. Do you see how dreams are just the catalyst for the move of the Spirit? And it's almost like there's a wave come in and you have to surf that wave. You turn into it. And then suddenly God takes you somewhere with that. And so dreams are just in a way that they're the launching pad for us to catch that and see where the Spirit of God's going. And you've got to feel your way as you would perhaps if you were a surfer feeling that wave and you're seeing where the Spirit of God's going. And it's likewise in worship. Now God will speak to you however you are prepared to listen. Let me say that again. God will speak to you perhaps, let me say it like this, how you have been trained to listen. All right, so some of you wake up with a song that you didn't go to bed with that night. All right, That is the voice of God or your angel bringing to you his word. You need to think through the words of that song on who sang that word, who sang that song and so on in those situations. But we become dull and we've been trained only to hear God through the logos. We need to realize that God is constantly speaking to us, but we're not always hearing. You go, well, where's that in scripture, Adrian? Well, now, Jeremiah 33:3 says this. It says, call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things you do not know. The word there for answer is a homograph. That means it's a word with more than one interpretation or one meaning. All right, the Hebrew word is ana, and it means this. It means to reply or to respond, but it also means to sing or to shout. All right, and so God, the cry of your heart is God. You know, you're there before God. And God's response sometimes is get us when we are not working through the agenda. And often that's in our sleep. And so dreams, visions, and often waking up with songs is quite normal for us. I just want to expand our vocabulary to hear from God. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, Adam spoke about angels ascending and descending. Have you ever thought why? If angels are in heaven, why do they first ascend before they descend? Because they're already here. And they're waiting for you to pray. And when you pray, they take that request to God and then they come back with its response. They know the heaviness on your heart. And often that might be a song. It's a revelation that God wants to bring to you. And you've got to be prepared to receive that revelation. God speaks symbolically. He doesn't always speak audibly. I've heard the audible voice of God once in 30 years of walking with the Lord. Once. But in the majority, he wants us to learn the language of heaven. And the language of heaven is metaphor. It's Hebraic poetry. A third of scripture is poetry. It's not just from Job through to Song of Songs, but you know, the Song of Moses in Exodus. Everywhere in the modern Bible where you see ragged edged in your Bibles, you're reading Isaiah, you're reading Jeremiah, that's poetry, that's poetic. God speaks continuously through the prophets poetically as the ecstatic comes forth through them. So realize that God uses poetry because it's the language of love, and we need to get used to that sort of form of poetry. It's not rhyme like we understand it in English and Arabic, but it's got its own rules, as it were. And once you grab a hold of that understanding, you can see what God is saying. All right, so I want to cover the area of dreams, but I also want to cover a bigger picture, because most of us, for most of my Christian life, I was taught that the kingdom is coming, all right? And it's always just the futuristic fulfillment of what God's promised. It's like a carrot dangled in front of me that you never actually get to. And the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so we need to realize that the kingdom is here right now and in the future. You say, well, where is that in Scripture? Well, Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 14 says this. It says, you become partakers of an inheritance. And God has translated you from the power of darkness or the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So you've been from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son or the kingdom of light. And then it says, and we've been redeemed through his blood. We have majored the gospel. We think the gospel is only that we've been redeemed through his blood. And if it's only we've been redeemed through his blood, then we as the church have settled at the cross and we've camped there, not realizing that the cross is a doorway into a bigger picture. So if we just stood in the doorway there and didn't enter in, what we're doing is we're belittling or we're defeating or we're taking away, distracting from Jesus' death upon the cross, because he died that we'd be redeemed, be cleansed, but also so that we can step into the kingdom. The kingdom's here right now. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, when he ascended, it says, led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That is the scene of a triumphant king returning from the scene of a battle with everybody that was captive in his train, and you and I are in that train following him through, and he's taken the spoils back off the enemy so they can distribute them to us. That we have the victory. Jesus has the victory. We need to realize he's already won. We're not battling for the place of victory, we're battling from. You've heard that before, I'm sure. All right, and so you find things like this. Jesus teaches the disciples for 40 days, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, on the things of the kingdom. What's the point of him teaching for 40 days on the principles of the kingdom if they're not going to step in? If they're not going to step in when he ascends, because when he ascends, that's his enthronement. When he's enthroned, so are we. Or maybe I'll get a chance to open that up. But when he ascended, he's led us as well to be ascended with him, so that we rule and reign with him as sons and daughters of the living God. Are you okay? Well, no, we bought that the gospel from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, was that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But we never read the rest of the chapter, 3 to verse 25, where it says that he was sitting at the right hand of the Father until his enemy are being put under his foot. All right, we need to realize that Jesus is enthroned in heaven right now. And that's why it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that he's the express image of his glory. And then it says this, how does it put it? It says that after he redeemed us through his blood, he then sat immediately. The picture is immediately he's at the right hand of the Father. After the blood and the redemption, now he's at the, with the Father. There's no hiatus, there's no break in his rule and reign, according to Isaiah 9, verse 7. That of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus is in control. Jesus is ruling and reigning right now. There's no cessationism. You know, that the power of God did not die with the apostles, as many teach. Are you with me? Are you okay? It's here right now, and there's been no break in that rule and reign. Just the only break is in our own minds and our understanding. The enemy wants to keep us blinded to this truth. Now, if the kingdom is here right now, how do we enter that kingdom? So it's one thing to understand that it's here and it's in operation here right now. God wants his children to be able to step into that. The Bible says it's the Father's good will to give you the kingdom, is it not? So we learn so many things, and God's provided for us in that book, those 66 books, you know, the Bible. He's given us a blueprint for us to understand that just as the children of Israel moved from Egypt through the wilderness experience into the promised land, that's a picture of our journey as well. We're tarred with the same brush. We think less of ourselves than we should, because God wants us to step in. And they saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight. Is that true? Alrighty. So we're in the world. God brings us to a place of transition, and that place of transition, we're meant to have our minds renewed to understand who we really are. And we don't move into the promised land, but we move into the land of his promises. They moved into the promised land, but we move into the land of his promises. And all his promises are what? Yes in him, and amen in him. So if we stay in him, they're yes. Woo! When you're reading the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 is really the pivotal verse of the lesson that the children of Israel had to learn in the wilderness. Why is that the pivotal lesson? Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, I led you into the wilderness, I humbled you, and I caused you to hunger, and I fed you with manna that you didn't know, that your fathers didn't know, that man must come to know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word spoken out of the mouth of God. Is that correct? Something of that order. If you just isolated that verse, you could discern that manna is as the voice that comes out of the mouth of God. So Old Testament manna is the equivalent of revelation, the spoken word of God. Are you still with me? So manna is as the spoken word of God. You say, well, that's all right for the Old Testament. What about us as New Testament believers? You need to understand that that's one book. And we've made a mistake by going, well, we're just now in the New Testament and the Old Testament's law. When Jesus ministered, they didn't have the New Testament. All right? He's drawing truth from the Old Testament, but he's drawing revelation out of that legalistic system. And you and I can do the same. Manna is as revelation. In the New Testament, we pray a prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What's daily bread? It's manna. It's revelation. You and I live on manna. If you do not get revelation, then you're dying. And if you're living on yesterday's manna, it's going to turn to worms. And if you're sharing somebody else's message, it's not good enough. We know pastors who get together and they go, I'll give you one of my sermons if you'll give me one of yours. That does not feed the body. The prophetic is the spearhead. The prophetic is the spearhead of any move of God. We need the prophetic. And every one of you is more prophetic than you'd realize. Every one of you, maybe not be a prophet in the Elijah, Elisha sense, but you are more prophetic. How do I know that? If it's the Father's good will is to give us the kingdom, and we enter through revelation, they had to learn to live by manna, and we live by revelation, it means that every one of us can receive revelation, therefore we're more prophetic than we realize. All right, we just got to open our ears and realize what God does and speaks to us. So we want to teach a little bit about dreams, but I also want to give you the bigger picture so you can see where it fits into that. Now, in that situation, God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, he said, you didn't know this and neither did your fathers know this matter. You didn't know this revelation beforehand. What that says is this. Now, we know in hindsight that the forefathers or the fathers had a wrong mindset. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight. This is Numbers 13 and 14. You know the story. They balked at not stepping in because they saw the enemy as much more powerful. What that tells us is that in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, revelation, because it's not only to this current generation, but the past generation, if the past generation didn't know revelation, it means that manna or revelation has the capacity to challenge a fixed mindset or a wrong mindset. Does that make sense? And not only is it just something new, but it also applies to this generation, which means this. Not only does it have the revelation has the capacity to challenge a wrong mindset or a fixed mindset. Someone was viewing themselves as less than what God's destined them to be. But it also has the capacity to frame up something beyond ourselves so we can step into it. And so that's how it fits into this generation. Now, God has greater plans for you than you can imagine. How does he get you into that? He releases revelation, and with that revelation, you model it, you can picture that, you imagine it, and you can step into it. Is that okay? This is really exciting, because then if we understand the power of revelation, so it's one thing to know the kingdom's here, but how do I get in it? It'd be really frustrating. You thought, no, the kingdom's here, but you know, it's here, and we step in through revelation. All right, and so there you have, you've got heaven here. You've got earth here, and where they overlap is revelation. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to enter into that realm to discern what he's saying. It's the language of heaven. Parables, riddles, enigmas, Hebraic poetry is the language of heaven. Now, if we were going to move into, say we will become missionaries to Cambodia, you would think that we would be in language school before we went there, right? You want to know something about the culture. You want to know something about the history. You would want to know something about that. That's exactly the same in the kingdom. We need to understand the language so we can step into there and minister. And we need to be immersed in that language. Are you okay? All right. So the kingdom's here and it's entered through revelation. Many of us don't understand. And I believe that the church for too long has dwelt at the cross. And I'm not taking away or detracting from the power of Jesus' blood to redeem us. We absolutely need that. Amen? Everyone in this room, I'm guessing, has come through the cross. Amen? But now God wants us not to leave it behind, but to have that and step into what he has for us. That experience of the kingdom. Because God is a good God. God is, and we use that word, it can be a little bit of an empty cliche that God's good. But the word good in Hebrew is tov. And its three letters are a tet, a vav, and a bet, which means this. It means, I surround the house. You are God's house. And God's goodness surrounds you. And he has his table of provision around you. We've got to learn to partake of that and access that the goodness of God. It's not just a song. All right, so it's not just that English sometimes depletes from the truth and the strength of the Hebrew, the living letters. All right, so we move into the land of God's promises, and we do so through revelation. So therefore, you go, now dreams. How can that be revelatory? How can that be the word? Well, Psalm 105 verse 19 says this, of Joseph, this is Jacob's son Joseph, it says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word the Lord tested or tried Joseph. Now, when I was at Sunday school, Joseph was goody two-shoes. He was the perfect man because he resisted lust. You remember the story? And maybe that's how it's been. He's not the perfect man, though, because it says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested, tried, or purified him. So he needed fixing up like you and I. All right, so what was the word that had to come to pass for Joseph? Until the time that his word came to pass. What was his word? It was a dream from where? From the beginning in Genesis 37, that his brothers would bow down to him, the moon, the stars, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars would bow down to him. So what the Bible actually says is his dream was a word. The dream is a word. It's not a logos word, it's a rhema. And so often in our vernacular, in our understanding, we go, well, this is the word of God, and we're looking for printed letters on a page when we don't realize that that picture there paints 1,000 words. And we would say, you know, there's 10,000 words there if we were Chinese. You know, that's their proverb, that a picture paints 10,000 words. All right, but then we can't translate that into getting a vision and a dream and realizing it's the word of God to us. Are you okay? Now, as a teacher, I want to check everything by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. And so Psalm 105 verse 19 is just the beginning. In Daniel 2:23 and Daniel 4:33, you'll see the same thing, that the word translates, the word for matter, thing, word. It's actually a dream that's being referred to. It's milah in the Hebrew, all right? In Psalm 105, it's davar, another Hebrew word. But each time it's a word that can be interchanged. So he's talking about a dream as a word from God, a revelatory word from God. When you realize the power and the importance of your dreams, suddenly you get more dreams and you take more notice of them. Are you okay? Now it says, until the time that his word came to pass, which was that his brothers and that would bow down, the word of the Lord tested or tried him. What was the word of the Lord that tested or tried him? That also was a dream. That was a dream of 2 guys that he was incarcerated with. He shared prison with. You know the story. We often call them the butler and the baker, but let me change the vernacular. That is a bread maker who was broken and hung on a tree, and that was a wine bearer in a pit who was resurrected. Bread and wine. Joseph went through death and resurrection in prison so that he could be the man that God had called him to be. And he is more of a type of Christ than I can open up here, more than 100 ways. But he is then sitting alongside Pharaoh, who is a picture of the Father, and there he distributes the seed, or the word of God, to the nations who come to him to be fed. We're in that day. Joseph's coat of many colors is the glory of God. And if you see a rainbow, we would normally think of it as covenant or promise, but it can also be a picture of the glory of God, because it has all of the elements, or the 7 colors of the rainbow, or the glory of God, or the menorah in it. Are you okay? Now, when you're interpreting a dream, context is key, as I said last night. So, like if you're studying scripture, context is key. So, if I don't have my shoes off, sorry, if I don't have my shoes on, and I'm in Exodus chapter 3, what does it mean? Context. I'm on holy ground. But if I'm way over here in Ephesians chapter 6, and I don't have my shoes on, what does it mean? It means I'm not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I'm here in Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. If I'm here, somewhere here, if I'm in the book of Ruth and I take a shoe off, what does it mean? It means I'm going into contract. So you understand, every place, a shoe won't mean the same thing everywhere, and an element in a dream won't mean the same thing everywhere. You've got to discern the context, and you've got to explore context. When you're interpreting a dream, you're looking for the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, boom, 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 but you're also looking to match that to the life and the heart of the dreamer. What are they going through? What are they experiencing? Because God is normally responding to the cry of their heart. So you're looking to match that with what you're seeing in the dream. Is that okay? Now understand, in Hebrew, God often does some things that we're not used to. So particularly for in poetry, the Bible says that you and I are a tree, Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, Isaiah 61. Are you okay? Spiritually, you are a tree. Is that okay? Yes. So if you are looking at a plant in a pot, if you're looking at something like that, chances are you're looking at a person. You're looking at a tree. If you're looking at a bush, it's a person that perhaps is not fully grown to be what God's called him to be. All right, because you and I are trees of righteousness. And so that imagery is what God does. He continually does that for us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, Paul writes and he says, if this house is destroyed, I have another one in heaven. You are God's house. In your dreams, you're there, you are in the kitchen, you're making something on the bench, or you're in the house, you're in the living room or in the bedroom. Chances are it's a picture of you in your heart, because you are God's house. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 describes us as the temple of God individually. So we are the temple and we are the house. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 describes us as the temple of God or the house of God corporately. So if you're looking at a house, as you're listening to a dream, you're going, okay, is this an individual? Is this a corporate gathering? Or is it another rendition or another way of interpreting what a house could be? It could be a business house. You know, the old-fashioned, you know, the cotton houses and all that sort of things. That sort of thing. And you've got to be mindful that you're not just putting it in a box, but you're looking for other elements to help you identify what it is that you're looking at. Is that okay? But in the majority of situations, when you're looking at a house, you're looking at an individual. Okay. One of the things that we're not fully understanding in the kingdom is that it is in an internal time frame. We are bound by chronological time, as it were, here on earth, but we need to realize that we are eternal creatures. We have eternal life now. Eternal life is not just when I die and I pass over. I can enter into eternal life here right now, and I have entered into eternal life here right now. What does that mean, though? So what does it mean for me to be able to access eternity? Well, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is very, very... In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus really starts his ministry in Matthew chapter 8. It comes through the temptation in the wilderness. Matthew's temptation is different to Luke's temptation. Have you seen the two accounts differ? I'm not sure whether you have. But Matthew's rendition, he responds to the devil when he says, turn these stones into bread. He says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word spoken out of the mouth of God. In Luke, he doesn't say that same words. He said, man lives by the word of God, not by words spoken out of the mouth of God. Because in Matthew's gospel is the kingdom gospel. All right? The first thing we need to understand is, if you want to live a kingdom lifestyle, you've got to understand that you are a revelator. You are prophetic, and that you receive revelation from God. And that is the down payment of what he wants you to move in. In Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus, first of all, he heals a leper. He's actually signifying the end from the beginning in healing a leper. This is the sign to the priest for the cleansing of leprosy. Leprosy in Scripture is as sin. All right, and so Jesus is actually forecasting, foretelling what's going to take place in his ministry. He says, he heals the leper and he says, now go back and give the offering that is required by the priest according to the law for their cleansing. And so what would be required is that the person would take two birds, two heavenly beings. He would put one in an earthen vessel. This is Leviticus chapter 14. You would put one in an earthen vessel. You would kill that bird and you would dip the other bird in the blood of that so that it spreads the message of that cleansing. Jesus has been clothed in humanity and the Holy Spirit now spreads the message of the cleansing of his blood. So Jesus starts his ministry in Matthew chapter 8 with that. That's a forecasting of where we're going with this thing. He's the one who declares the end from the beginning. He then heals a centurion's servant. In John, it's his son, but it's his servant in Matthew. And then he goes to Peter's house. You've read the story. And he heals Peter's mother of a fever, and then she starts to serve him. And that night, it says, that they brought to him all those that were demon-possessed and sick, and with a word he cast out the demons, And he laid hands on them and they all were healed. Is that correct? Matthew 8, 16. And then it says this, that he did that to fulfill what was written by Isaiah, that he bore our sicknesses and diseases. What? He healed and cast out demons in accordance with what Isaiah wrote 700 years earlier, that he bore our sicknesses and diseases. Let me ask you a question. When did Jesus bear our sicknesses and diseases? When? Where? At the cross. Well, if we're going to get strictly technical, from the whipping post, because by his stripes we're healed as well. So in that passion, from there to there, he bore our sicknesses and diseases. And yet Jesus is ministering in Matthew chapter 8. He hasn't come to the cross chronologically, but he's drawn from an eternal truth outside of chronological time. And so there's a line on this stage here. He's walking chronologically. He steps sideways, draws on an eternal truth, steps back into chronological time, and he applies that then and there. That's the kingdom. You and I have the privilege of stepping into eternity, drawing from an eternal truth, and bringing it back into our day. Are you okay? Elijah and Elisha, in that last day in 2 Kings chapter 2, where they're walking together and Elijah's taken up and he casts his mantle down, it says that the Jordan parted. Jordan means death or descender. The name Jordan means death or December. They're passing through the eternal barrier. But it means that Elisha's come to the place where he can step in and step back into eternity and out of, back into this realm. We and you and I are born to do that. We are destined to do that. And God wants us to draw from eternal truth. Now, we understand this, that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. So way up there, it was already done. Even though chronologically it hadn't been fulfilled, he was already dead. He's drawing from that truth into the eternal realm. I see eternity as the fullness of time. Not necessarily just outside of it, but it's the fullness of time. And God wants us to enter into that understanding so that we can draw from the fullness of time and what God's provisions for us is. I can't open this up too much here, but because I want to teach on dreams, but Jesus and the cross are synonymous. You know, the Bible says in John 10 that Jesus is the door. But let me tell you this, that wherever you see the door, wherever you see the cross, it's a door. I'm saying that because Jesus and the cross are synonymous. You can't speak about Christ without mentioning the cross or thinking of the cross. And you can't think of the cross without thinking of Christ. They're one and the same. All right, so where everywhere that you see the cross, all the way through the Old Testament and the Gospels, there's a truth there, a dimensional truth of the kingdom that's not portrayed as Jesus is dying in the Gospels that can be captured spiritually. But when you explore that and God gives you the keys and opens and releases the revelation to you, if God releases revelation to you, he's also given you the authority to stand in that revelation. Are you okay? Let's see how far we can go. What time do I'm meant to finish, all right? 8:30, all right, so. All right, so let's come back into dreams. I'm just whetting your appetite in terms of the kingdom. So get used to understanding and trying to see things as metaphors. Now, if I were practicing to interpret dreams, I mean, obviously the breakfast table is a great place, you know, to practice. And you learn as you go. You know, you don't always get it right the first time. As Adam shared last night, you know, we don't stone the prophets these days, which means that prophets can operate and practice to get good at what they do. You're allowed the scope to actually practice to see what God's saying, and you'll learn as you go. So God uses symbols to speak to us. All right, so now, let's just go over it again. We enter the kingdom through revelation. Dreams are part of that revelation. According to Psalm 105, verse 19, until the word time of his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested or tried him. And so God wants us to step in. But God's more interested in us partaking of the kingdom and stepping beyond the cross. If we just stay at the cross, then we become a religious institution that loses relevance to the dying world. From cover to cover, the kingdom's there. We just don't see it. So from the very beginning, I've got to go there. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, God's laying emphasis here on the heavens and the earth. And he ends that chapter in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and so God created the heavens and the earth. This is the history of the heavens, or the generations of the history and the earth, of the heavens and the earth. Heavens first and then earth. So God lays emphasis on the spiritual above the physical. But we've majored on the physical. And I've got nothing against creation science. Ken Ham, Carl Wieland, building the Ark in Kentucky. I love it, all right? Because it does give us a scientific retort to those who would challenge the scriptures. Is that okay?
Yes.
But what we need to see is the importance of what lies beneath. The Bible says on day one, God created a light. On day two, he separated the waters above from the waters below. On day three, he caused the dry earth to come out of the waters that were below and plant life to grow. On day four, he put the sun into the sky to have dominion and rule. And he put the moon and the stars over the day and over the night. And on day five, he created fish and birds and gave man dominion over them. On day six, he created land animals and he gave man dominion over the whole lot, over the whole caboodle. Spiritually, Jesus came to earth. He is the light of the world. Day one. Day two. God, the separation of waters is symbolic. The separation of waters in Scripture is a symbol of death. So Jesus came, but he died. That's why you see Elijah and Elisha walking through the Jordan. They're passing through death. That's why Moses passes through the Red Sea, because they're moving through the death of what took place in Exodus chapter 12. The blood of Christ. And that's why Pharaoh and his hordes, or the devil and his hordes, and Pharaoh and his men couldn't pass through that, because they can't come through that eternal barrier. That's the blood of Christ that separates us from the enemy. You and I are covered in the blood of Christ. If you go and you sleep in a place that's not normal, your place of residence, sometimes you'll dream, because there are portals, because there are places where spirits are active. Hotels often have prostitutes in them. I know it's a shock, but that's true. And sometimes spirits of lust operate in there. In that place, when you're not with family, when you're away from home, you should cover your heart in the blood of Christ. You should cover the room in the blood of Christ. Do you understand? So the enemy has no capacity to enter into your heart or into that place. Is that okay? And so day one, Jesus came. On day two, he died. Do you know, in the very beginning, it says, and God saw day one was good. On day two, it doesn't say that he saw it was good. But on day three, he says it was good twice. For that reason, Orthodox Jews get married on a Tuesday, because there's a double blessing on a Tuesday. That's why it says in John chapter 2, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana. It's on a Tuesday. Are you okay?
Yes.
So, day one, Jesus came. Day two, he died. That's the separation of the Father and Son. Waters above from waters below. On day three, it says that the earth came out of the waters under the heavens. You know, the waters under the heavens. The earth came out of that. And plant life proceeded. What is that symbolic of? Well, we baptize by full immersion. Death, burial, resurrection. Underwater is dead in sin. Is that correct? And then the person's resurrected. That earth coming out of the water, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. If you want to get the depth of understanding in the scriptures, bring more than one verse together. What verses go off inside of you as you're reading the scriptures? Because you bring those verses together and you've got two lenses, and you'll get a depth of field that you never had before. Are you okay? And so that earth coming out of the water, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's the earth, that's Jesus, a mankind rising out of the ashes of sin because of what Christ has done for us, because he's just died. And now there's a double blessing on that. But not only that, now it says that plant life comes forth, grass, herb, and trees. Who are they? They're us. And they reproduce according to the seed that they bear. You and I reproduce according to the word that comes out of our mouth. What are you saying to yourself? What are you feeding on? Because you reproduce according to that. Are you okay? Whew. You know, Adam made reference to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. The prophets were coming down from the hill. Each of them, the Bible says that they were prophesying in English, but in Hebrew it says they were speaking ecstatically. So they're coming down from the mountain. There they are. They're going off. And they're all coming down playing separate instruments, and they're going off in the Spirit. What the Holy Spirit showed me was that they were stepping into the words that come out of their mouth. Prophecy is the path you set before you. When you speak, you step into those words. We've got to be careful what comes out of our mouth, because we reproduce and we grow according to the seed that's within. Now, day four is where I really want to get to, because it's important for us to understand. In day four, God set the sun, the S-U-N, into the day sky to have dominion over the day. My Bible says, I'm bringing another verse together here, Malachi 4 verse 2, it says, to those who fear my name, or to those that worship me, the Hebrew word for fear is yare. It means the hand you see. So those who see God's hand at work, the Son of Righteousness shall arise, and he has healing in his wings. When Jesus ascended, he's seated in heavenly places right now. He's healing more today than he did when he walked the planet. We've got to grab a hold of that truth. You are being healed in your seats here under the glory of God if you allow God to do so. You don't need hands laid on you. You just need to receive the truth of what God says. Are you okay? And so he ascended, right? And he led captivity captive. But there he is in Malachi 4 verse 2. The Son of Righteousness, the S-U-N of righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings. So as we gaze into his glory, healing rays touch us. All right, then he says that he put the moon into the night sky and the stars also for signs and seasons. Well, who is the moon and who are the stars? Well, according to Joseph's dream in Genesis 37, Jacob interprets Joseph's dream, and he says this. He says, shall I, your mother, my wife, and your brothers all bow down to you, you little upstart? Not with those exact words, but you know, that's the tenure of what's being said there, isn't it? All right? Who was the moon? It was Jacob's wife. So the sun, the S-U-N, has arisen. Who's his wife? Who is the wife or the bride of Christ? The church. The church is the moon. And as the church gazes into his glory, we reflect that glory into a darkened world. That's our role corporately. Not only that, but corporately, but individually. In Genesis 15, when God was speaking to Abraham, he said to him, your offspring will be as the stars of heaven. You and I are those stars. And our job also, so individually and corporately, as we gaze into the glory of the sun, we reflect that light and that glory into a darkened world. We are the light of the world. Jesus was the light of the world, and now it's our chance now. Because he's gone, day, it's no longer day, it's night. And now we speak in and we reflect that into a darkened world. Are you okay? Now it says for signs and seasons. Now the word season is literally for such a time as this. That's Esther 4 verse 14. Amen? Unfortunately, it's become a bit of a cliche in Christian circles. But you and I were born at this exact time for an exact purpose, an exact mission, to shine our lights into a darkened world for a particular time. Realize that you've been called. You've been precisely called for such a time as this. It says we were for signs and seasons. Signs means miracles. If you go into the Hebrew, miracles and for such a time as this. You and I are destined for miracles. That's our part and parcel as we gaze into his glory. Now, revelation will flow to you as you gaze into him. Now the groundwork, that's why Joshua chapter 1, that's why God said, if you meditate in my word day and night, you'll be prosperous and have good success. Not only is it in a sense of you'll achieve what God's called you to do, but he'll give you prudence or wisdom to know what to do with what he releases. So when you're listening to a dream or a vision, or you're seeing some sort of revelation, you're receiving some revelation, in that revelation is the wisdom to know what to do with what you're receiving. And if you receive revelation, when Jesus said to the disciples, well, who do men say that I am? And they go, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah. He goes, well, who do you say that I am? He goes, well, Peter steps up to the plate and he goes, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. So when you get revelation, where does it come from? You're not making that up. The Father's releasing that, and if the Father releases it, he's given you the commensurate authority to step in and operate in that authority. Is that okay? That's why when we're interpreting dreams and visions, we know what God's given us, and we know the authority in which we stand, and therefore we can speak into that situation. Number one is we need revelation. And number two, when Jesus was tempted, I really can't open it up too much here, but when Jesus was tempted, the second thing he did, he said to the devil in Matthew's gospel, it changes order between that and Luke's gospel, but in Matthew's gospel, he says, "You shall not test the Lord thy God." Well, they tested God at Massa in the Old Testament. That's Exodus chapter 17 and verse 7. And what they did is they doubted God was amongst them. You know what doubt does? Doubt divides our head and our heart. It's like fear. All right? And so when you get a revelation, it comes to here. You've got to line your mouth up with that revelation. You've got to line up your steps with the revelation that God releases to you so that you are one man. It's not you that stands there. It's Jesus Christ. Many times when you're interpreting a dream or a vision, you've got to read what's not written. All right, I shared this a little bit before. So David's going to go and face Goliath, and Saul says, "Why don't you wear my armor?" Good idea. And David says, "I can't wear this because I haven't tested it." What armor had David tested? What armor had he tested? Well, he tested, you know who he had really tested? He tested God. Because he said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." L-O-R-D. Yod Hey Vav Hey. Yod Hey Vav Hey. Hand behold, nail behold. I come to you in behold the hand, behold the nail. I come to you in the victory of the cross. Devil, you're already defeated in eternity because the lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. And there you have a picture of Jesus, a lamb to the slaughter, David facing a seasoned warrior, and there he is fighting the devil. But he doesn't, the devil says, "Send me a man." The devil always wants to fight you, wants to face you as a man, but you don't face him as a man, you face him as Christ. I face him in the fact that I'm already victorious in the cross, and I'm dead on the cross with Christ, and therefore I'm coming to you in Yod Hey Vav Hey, behold the hand, behold the nail. Are you okay? I can't open this up further, but I want to. All right, believe me. Finally, in Jesus' temptations, the devil says to him, "If you bow down, I'll give you all these things. If you worship me," and Jesus says to him, he says, "You should worship the Lord thy God, and only him should you serve." In the original Deuteronomy 6 verse 16 and 6 verse 13, he actually said, "You should fear the Lord thy God, and him only should you serve." All right, worship is not just a nice song that we sing. What worship does is enthrones Christ, and it seats him in that place of authority. And when Christ is enthroned and we worship, guess what? The kingdom comes into play. We don't search for angels, but as we worship, they come into play. As we worship, the glory descends upon us and people are healed in their seats. We're not just working through a set of songs. We're actually bringing in and we're enthroning him so that we can see the kingdom manifest. Are you there? And that's why as they went out praising God, he set ambushments there. That's why as he's marching up to the triumphant entry, they were healed. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were saying, "Shut them up." You know, we hear what they're saying. They were getting healed because they were worshiping him. As we give ourselves to him, he's enthroned. And as he's enthroned, his kingdom comes into play. Where is he enthroned? In here, as I'm worshiping, as I put my heart towards him. Suddenly he's there and his kingdom's enthroned. His kingdom's in place. He's enthroned and his authority's there. Are you all good? I've got to bring this to a close. Dreams and visions are just the tip of the iceberg. I hope that I've excited you to open the Word of God like never before. Because that's your foundation. And whenever you interpret what God's saying, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, when the Holy Spirit teaches, he does so comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The body of the word of the Logos that you have within you becomes the lens through which you understand what God's saying. Is that okay? So it's awesome that we have that within us. We've already got the bank inside. All we've got to do is make a draw from that as God releases stuff. And so as you see dreams, as you see visions, as you open the word, what goes off, what scriptures go off inside of you, and play that, bring that into the scene to see whether it makes sense, whether the context is right to apply that word in that situation. Is that all good? Hallelujah.